Blackwood, a Gothheim tale. Written by Clyde Davis. Narration and sound design by Alex Schiffer. Music by Josh Fisher. Episode 6, Into the Woods. The Inquisitor and the Apprentice waited patiently for the witch to make her move. As the two men made their way through the fog and back towards the inn, Blackwood explained the details of his plan to lure the witch from its lair. And as he explained, he was sure the she-devil's hideaway was somewhere in the woods outside of Westgrave. Several nights had passed since the visitation on the first evening of Blackwood's arrival in Westgrave. There were no more apparitions or conjuring of shadows in the girl's room. The only things that remained constant, as a reminder of the witch's presence, was the ever-present fog that suffocated the village, and the unnatural sleep that still held Mary Shaw deep within its grasp. Blackwood's plan was simple. Each night, he would visit Mary Shaw where she lay, and perform a simple act of exorcism upon her, with the assistance of his inquisitorial coin. By doing so, the Inquisitor would slowly break down the hold the witch possessed over the girl. He had done it more times than he could recall during his long years as a hunter of the magic kind. The coin was imbued with holy litanies, and although it was a powerful divining rod to locate the presence of the old ways in a limited area, the ability also made it possible for an Inquisitor to effect his will upon the nature of whatever magic the coin revealed. Much like drawing the venom from a snake bite, the Inquisitor's will worked as a slow-acting antidote to the poison. Without fail, Blackwood would enter Mary's room at the same time each evening and perform the exorcism, slowly moving the coin over the girl from head to toe, whilst focusing his will on the black token and the otherworldly connection it would create when it reacted with the old ways. Whilst he was in the room, performing the ritual, Fee would be outside, keeping guard at the bedroom door. There had been a growing sense of uneasiness amongst the village folk as the agents of the Citadel prolonged their stay. For the most part, Mr. Shaw was the source of the ill feelings towards the two men. Blackwood wanted no interruptions during his efforts to provoke the witch's magic into action. Once the ritual was completed, both Blackwood and Fee would take up positions on the street outside the inn. Blackwood stood at one end of the village street where he had clear sight of the inn's front door, whilst Fee stood slightly off the cobblestones on the other end, so that he could have a vantage point over the smaller kitchen door at the back of the inn. The fog remained unmoving and thick, but the two men positioned themselves well enough so that they maintained sight of each other and the entrances to the inn. The Inquisitor's intuition told him that if the witch was to make its move to apprehend her prize, Mary Shaw, she would not risk entering the village itself. Instead, as before, she would exercise its magic and take control of Mary Shaw and lead the girl out of the town and into the safety of the woods. And when this was to happen, they'd be waiting and watching, ready to follow. Yet several nights passed and nothing happened. Nightly, Blackwood performed the ritual, slowly chipping away at whatever spell bound Mary Shaw to the witch, channeling his will through the coin in an attempt to coax the sorceress into action. Night after night, the black coin drew no reaction from the girl, and no supernatural events occurred. Everything seemed to be quite ordinary. The village folk were beginning to grow anxious. The Inquisitor's nightly visits with Mary Shaw, and the absence of any further unnatural occurrences, were beginning to sit uneasily with them. It was strange how quickly the backwater folk could forget what had happened no more than a week ago, and even more surprising how quickly Mr. Shaw, who had been in the room during the witch's visitation, had also forgotten what had happened or more likely, forgotten what he'd seen. Blackwood paid no attention to the village folk and their growing unrest with his presence in Westgrave. This was just another investigation. One in a lifetime's worth of such cases where he had to deal with the narrow minds of country folk. He ignored the change in looks from the people in the candle and cask. Stares that were once filled with fear and apprehension were now filled with a touch of contempt, anger even. His presence had once set the village folk on edge, but with each passing day, Blackwood could feel that changing. Mornings in the common room were filled with a tense air of frustration. Mr. Shaw still served him and Fee with a simple breakfast, and any other meal they required during the day, but the nervousness of the initial days were gone. Although he feigned ignorance, Blackwood noted each daring look of hatred from the man. Perhaps it was the frustration of a father who was powerless to help his daughter. Certainly that was part of it. Another certainty was the fear of a father, the fear of not knowing the fate of a child. And in the case of Mary Shaw, her current fate contained little hope. The imposing reputation of an inquisitor didn't help in either regard. And for this, Blackwood forgave the man for his presumptuous behavior. But if the man's fatherly instincts were to drive him to do something foolish, Blackwood would show him no mercy. There was no excuse for standing against an inquisitor. Not even ignorance was acceptable, let alone the love of a father. He would allow the man to do as he wished, even if that meant walking a dangerous line between expressing his feelings and standing in the way of the citadel. Mr. Shaw's growing angst towards the inquisitor and his apprentice was beginning to affect the other village folk too, and Blackwood offered them the same treatment. For now, he tolerated them. The witch was his priority. But if it came to it, the people of Westgrave would discover how quickly an inquisitor could bring a village to its knees. Blackwood spent most of his days in his room, reading through the lexicon of the Malleus Maleficarum, going over the accounts of Megan. The question remained unanswered in his mind. Why had the witch intentionally or not shown him a vision of that particular moment in history? Killer of children. The witch's words taunted him. No matter how many times he looked over the details of the story of Megan, he could not understand it. The vision was obscure. Why would she have shown him that particular event? These were the questions which were plaguing his mind since the night of the visitation. Child killer. He refused to believe the obvious implication. It was ludicrous to even consider this witch as the mother of the Seven Sisters. Impossible. No Fae had survived the wars, let alone one so ancient. He pushed such wild ideas from his mind. His brooding was leading him down questionable avenues of thought. Maybe Fee was correct. What if the witch was gathering a coven, stealing newly become inherents from small villages to fill her ranks? It would make sense. After all, it was far too dangerous for a witch to operate within the walls of Gotheim. Far too dangerous for any magic kind, for that matter. It had been nearly a century since any form of the old ways had crossed over the boundaries of the capital. Evil things still occurred within the city. Things you'd expect of a place of such size. But the evil was of man, not Fae. Blackwood considered the geography of the facts. The case of Mary Shaw was not entirely isolated. Three girls had been stolen from nearby villages. The concentration of so many inherents in such a small area was also unlikely. Almost unbelievable if he were to consider that these girls would need to be powerful enough in the old ways to warrant the attention of a witch. Inherents capable of small feats such as minor clairvoyance or parlor tricks could be considered common. But individuals born mortal, and then to have inherent powers strong enough to put them on par with magic kind, was unbelievable. Those bloodlines had been annihilated during the wars, along with all the Fey bloodlines. They were the exterminated people. It was a quiet night, just like those preceding it, when Blackwood stood up from the table in his room and closed the lexicon. He stretched his legs and rubbed the fatigue from his eyes with the ball of his thumb. Distractedly, he placed the Malleus Maleficarum back into the worn leather bag, and then slipped it into the space between the bed and the small table standing alongside it. Outside his door, he could hear the sound of feet climbing the stairs. He followed the sound as they moved from the wooden floorboards to the landing of the soft-carpeted hallway. They came to a halt by his door. It was Fee, come to fetch him for the nightly ritual. Blackwood walked over to the door and took his coat from the hook. The shawl was already holstered in his belt, and the black coin in his trouser pocket. These two things rarely left his possession, especially during an investigation. He opened the door, and as he expected, Fee stood in the dark hallway. His face was soft and relaxed, but his eyes were tight with apprehension. The eventful nights of the past few days had brought a certain degree of ease to the apprentice, but as the two men moved to carry out Blackwood's plan each night, the nervousness and trepidation returned to the troubled young man's composure. Standing in the poor light of the hallway, Blackwood could see it in Fee's eyes. Good, he thought. I will need you at your best when the time comes. Even though nothing had happened since his first night in Westgrave, Blackwood was certain it was only a matter of time before something did. The Inquisitor left Fee outside the door of Mary Shaw's bedroom. He was armed with a long knife, concealed in his coat, and a revolver holstered on his belt, the latter only to be used in the most dire of situations. The apprentice's back was the last thing Blackwood saw as he closed the door in its frame, its lock clicking softly into place. He turned and surveyed the room. Nothing had changed since the night before, or the day after the first visitation, for that matter. Blackwood had given strict instruction that nothing was to be removed or changed in the room. A bowl of water upon the sitting chair in the corner closet to the window caught his eye. A linen cloth hung over the bowl's lip. The girl's mother must have forgotten to remove it after washing Mary. Blackwood sucked on his teeth with frustration. Village folk could be so trying at times. Apart from the bowl, everything else in the room looked in order. Mary Shaw lay in the same spot, the bedsheet pulled up to her chest, her arms neatly placed to her sides. Her hair was combed in the way he had come to expect, straight down with a side parting. The wounds on her shoulders, those made by the witch's ragged nails, had healed to mere bruises against her fair skin. Even the cuts at the corners of her mouth had nearly disappeared. She seemed peaceful in the grip of that unnatural sleep. Blackwood walked across the room and came to a halt at the foot of the bed. The room was still as warm as the first time he had entered it. The mounds of candles still burnt with the flicker of dozens of flames. A fire cracked in the hearth. The heat from those sources would do little to help the girl. This Blackwood knew. As long as she remained under the influence of the enchantment, her body would not age. It would not change. In fact, it would remain immune to the elements of the natural world. He let the shawls keep the candles lit and the fire in the hearth burning. Not out of sympathy, but because fire was the one thing in the natural world most sensitive to the coming of the old ways. Or as the alchemists of the Citadel would put it, the manifestation of magic. Blackwood glanced at the dance of the candles, and the crackling fire, and all seemed to be as it should. He slipped his hand into the trouser pocket that contained the formidable black coin. It was cold against the touch of his skin. With the tip of his finger, Blackwood traced the pressing of the Inquisition's sigil upon its surface. let us try this again, he thought. He walked around the side of the bed and stood over Mary as he had the first night in Westgrave, and every night thereafter. He pulled the coin in his pocket and positioned it between his fingers so that he could hold it over the girl like a ward. He then stretched out his arm until his coin hovered over her chest. The Inquisitor held the coin there for several long minutes. Nothing happened. There was no stirring in the girl or in the room. The candles flickered innocently, and no otherworldly force pranced around the fireplace. The coin remained dormant. Blackwood focused his will on the coin, gathering it on the black token, as if it were a staging area for an assault, before channeling it into the girl. He concentrated on that first night, remembering how Mary Shaw had risen from her slumber in a thrall. The memories flowed through his mind. Blackwood recalled the ancient, scraping voice that had spoken the Fae tongue. He remembered the growing shadow from behind the head of the bed. Still, nothing happened. Despite his efforts, the room remained undisturbed. Mary continued to sleep peacefully. Slowly, he moved the coin from her chest to her forehead and held it there, just over the point between her eyes. The point where the mystics believed the third eye, the eye of the soul, sat. Again, the Inquisitor channeled his will into the black coin, and then focused its power upon the girl. Just like before, he found no resistance. Mary Shaw remained unmoving and peaceful, and nothing in the room seemed to react or shift. Blackwood went deeper into his memories, and drew upon those of that place of nothingness, where there had only been the abyss and himself, and something else. The scenes of Megan rolled across his mind as he recalled the annihilation of that town and the immolation of the witches upon the hilltop. Nothing. For a moment, he paused and thought of his approach. The same approach he had taken each night, and brooded over the silence from the other world. He knew the witch could feel his efforts, even if it were the smallest knocking against the walls of the enchantment which held the girl, the witch could feel it. It would be like the muffled scratching of a rat in the ceiling, or like the whining of a mosquito. She must feel it, he thought, and so he pressed on with more resolve. There was one thing both rat and mosquito did well, and that was their relentless persistence, becoming an unending annoyance that eventually broke a person's temper. All he had to do was the same. He needed to find the thing that would make the witch lash out against him. He felt with a keenness that he could not shake, that there was something in the vision of Megan that would spark the witch. Blackwood spent several long minutes searching the details of those memories that weren't his, and then it finally came to him. He found it. Of course. A rare smile touched his face for a moment. Too fleeting to truly be there, and too weak to touch his eyes. He straightened his arm and strengthened his grip on the coin before delving back into that dark vision. He looked past the place of nothingness, turning his back on the destruction of the town and pausing at the burning of the woman upon the hilltop. The fires burned brightly, the red and orange lapping against the dark night, like the forked tongues of dragons. 1, 2, 3. Blackwood counted each of them until his eyes fell upon the girl he recognized. She was the one from the vision, the one he approached with his host body, the one whose base of kindling he had doused with oil. The Inquisitor forced on the details. In his mind, he could see the oil dripping from her toes before the fire leapt from the kindling and onto her, spreading like a hungry creature of its own. Blackwood concentrated on her face, remembering how it was framed amongst the growing flames that consumed her body, the sweat glistening on her cheeks and brow. Black smoke began to rise from her long dark hair as strands began to catch a light. The most beautifully terrifying aspect of that image was the way the girl's eyes glared down at him, unwavering and fearless, holding the dancing light of fire in their grasp. The words of the witch whispered in the back of his mind, "Killer of children." There it was. Blackwood reinforced his will and channeled his strength into the coin. "Killer of swine." He yelled those three words from his mind like a provocation. And with that, the coin between his two fingers went ice cold and took on the weight of a bag full of heavy stones. Blackwood held on with all he could manage. Across the room, the candles flickered, and an unfelt gust of wind choked the flames in the fireplace. The light in the room diminished for a blink, and a stinging blow rolled across the Inquisitor's face. The strike was unexpected, and Blackwood reeled from the pain that spread across his cheek. The black coin slipped from his grasp and tumbled through the air, bouncing off Mary's forehead and landing beside her on the bed. It left an indentation in the sheet far greater than its size could possibly allow for. The candles returned to normal instantly, and the fire crackled on as if no otherworldly gusts had just disturbed it. Blackwood raised his hand to his cheek and felt a warm welt developing where the invisible blow had landed. Despite the pain, he felt uplifted and savored the small victory. He had managed to coax the witch into action. He took the coin from the bed and put it back in his trouser pocket. Mary Shaw remained still, but the bruises along her shoulders suddenly seemed more pronounced against her white skin. The cut in the corners of her mouth had touched redder than before, and a fine film of perspiration had broken out along her brow. The Inquisitor gave her one last brooding stare, and then turned to leave the room. "Killer of swine." A smile returned to his face and lingered there for a moment longer than before. Fee followed the Inquisitor down the hallway. Blackwood moved quickly, and his long stride seemed to devour a number of stairs at once. Those who still remained in the common room frowned at the Inquisitor as he crossed the room to the front door. Some stole questioning glances at the mark across his cheek. Blackwood ignored all of them. Once outside, he stood on the porch of the inn, the unending white landscape of fog drifting to the east, but never moving away from Westgrave. The cold air offered slight relief from his cheek. He touched it gently and brushed aside the sharp pain that followed. Fee came onto the porch a few moments later and stared at Blackwood's face with the same questioning look as the village folk. "What happened?" Blackwood simply looked at the cobbled road and then turned to face Fee's curious look. "Let's just say there was a quick exchange of blows," the Inquisitor said. A frown creased Fee's forehead and he continued to look at his master with the same questioning stare. Fee's mouth opened slightly, as if he was going to say something, but no words came, and the expression on his face made him seem slightly dim. "It doesn't matter," Blackwood said. "You know where you need to be, and you know what you need to do." Fee nodded. "Yes, I do," he answered, and began to make his way off the porch, walking toward his lookout point by the rear door of the inn. "Another night waiting in the cold," he said jokingly, trying to make light of the grim weather and the serene look upon the Inquisitor's face. The young man's attempt at humor was short-lived as Blackwood's dark eyes followed him down the porch. "I have a feeling tonight will be different," he said softly to himself, Fee already out of earshot. The Inquisitor walked across the street to the corner of the stone building opposite of the inn. It was the sole merchant store in Westgrave, and although the fog and darkness of night concealed it well, it was much like the hundreds of small village merchant stores he had seen before. A small awning hung over its front, and a bench stood beneath each window that flanked the door. The wide windows were dark now, but during the day, the merchant kept lanterns burning to ward off the gloom of the unnatural weather. Blackwood leaned against the wall of the stone, and from the dark shadows beneath the awning, he looked up at the inn. Even though the benches offered a bit of comfort in the cold, dreary night, the Inquisitor would not sit, not for the remainder of his vigil. Off in the distance, despite the broiling fog, he could make out the faint outline of Fee keeping his own watch higher up the street. The inn loomed ahead, its bulk standing against the floating mist like a bulwark. The lights from the common room glowed warmly in the darkness of the night, but it was a single lit window on the second floor that kept Blackwood's attention, Mary Shaw's room. After the visitation, the inn had emptied out, leaving the Inquisitor and his apprentice as the only occupants of the establishment. Tonight will be different. You could feel it. The sharpened intuition of an Inquisitor hummed with certainty. He had managed to coax the witch into action after the long nights of silence. The absence of the witch's magic over the last few days may have fooled the village folk into a false sense of comfort and belief that she had moved on, but Blackwood knew better. Mary Shaw's unchanging condition and the persistent weather were clear indications that the witch's influence was still at hand. Yes, something would happen tonight. He could feel it in his bones. Time passed slowly at first, the minutes carrying into hours, the hours lingering like the smothering fog, until the passing of time became as indistinct as the gloom over Westgrave. The night had moved into its final quarter, those darkest hours of its reign over the world, when the shadows were deepest, and all the kingdoms of nightcrawlers and nocturnal creatures fulfilled their business upon the land. The silence was monotonous. The common room of the inn was now dark, the last lanterns extinguished some time ago, and even the light from the fire in the hearth could no longer be seen from outside, although its embers still glowed a dark crimson amongst the ashes of the exhausted wood. The window of Mary Shaw's bedroom remained aglow, the only beacon of light against the darkness of the night. Down the road, toward the train station, the line of lamps, which had led Blackwood into the village, had also been extinguished some time ago. Through the darkness, Blackwood's sharp eyes could still make out the dim figure of his apprentice in the near distance. He commended the man's dedication and fortitude, despite his lacking in some important aspects of what would complete him as an Inquisitor. Yet Fee was young, and there was still time until he would have to take the rites of an Inquisitor. Once hardened, he would make a fine Inquisitor, Blackwood thought. Perhaps not the greatest, but well worth the title. Something shifted against the only light in the darkness, and the Inquisitor's eyes darted from the silhouette of his apprentice to the window of Mary Shaw's bedroom, with cat-like speed. A shadow, slim and upright, passed behind the drawn curtains. Mary, the Inquisitor, straightened against the wall of the merchant store, the cold which had gathered in his muscles quickly falling away, and stepped to the edge of the deep shadow of the awning. Another shadow passed behind the curtain, trailing closely behind the first, with hands stretched out, as if guiding the former. As it passed before the window, it appeared bent and crooked against the light of the room. A shiver ran down the Inquisitor's back. Blackwood pursed his lips and let out a short but sharp whistle. In the distance, Fee's silhouette shifted in the fog. Out in the darkness of the night, the Inquisitor's whistle was met by the loud, shrill call of a bird. Another shiver crawled down Blackwood's arms, his sense of danger heightening. No birds were awake at this dark hour. He remained still, not daring to move in case he jeopardized his place of hiding beneath the awning. The inn door creaked, but did not open. Blackwood's eyes burnt through the darkness and watched carefully, each second now seeming to stretch out. And it was in moments like this that he could imagine the predator's perception of time change as it moved into the final act of killing. The door moved outward and then swung back into position, the sound of wood against wood clanking through the silence. Finally, the door opened wide enough, and the slim, pale form of Mary Shaw appeared on the porch of the inn. She stood there for a short moment, as if taking in her surroundings, and then descended onto the cobbled street and began walking up towards the woods. Blackwood did not move as he watched the fog consume the girl from sight. Only once she was entirely hidden did he leap forward from below the awning and follow her up the street. Up ahead, he could see the shape of Fee move too, approaching from the side to meet him. The apprentice came up on his right shoulder, and even in the darkness, Blackwood could see the tension plastered on Fee's face. "Now the hunt begins," Blackwood whispered, and the young man forced a nervous smile. The two men followed from a safe distance, keeping pace with the girl just enough to keep the shape of her waif-like form in sight. The fog shifted on either side of them, and Blackwood allowed experience to take hold of him. He controlled the length of his stride so as not to let the growing heat of the hunt overcome him. Fee followed a step behind.
"Stay close," the Inquisitor whispered over his shoulder. "There's no knowing what snares the witch has laid for us in this murk."
Fee gave no answer, and the Inquisitor took that as a sign of the young man's understanding. Into the white they strode, trailing the girl, her bare feet making no sound on the cobbled street. The Inquisitor and apprentice walked as silently, carefully placing each step so as not to have a misplaced boot scratching against the stone beneath them. The girl walked in a daze, her back upright and her palms slightly turned open before her, as if she were approaching a doorway. The dark shapes of houses passed on either side of the street, the village of Westgrave caught deeply in the spell of the night. Darker shapes began to appear through the murk. Blackwood and Fee knew those obscure specters to be the tree line of the woods. Soon the gnarled and ominous keepers of that wooded land would peer through the fog, and the line between civilization and wilderness would be drawn. The fog began to darken, the otherworldly light changing into a dense smog as the shadow of the looming woods began to enforce itself. Unperturbated by the darkness, Mary Shaw walked into the haze and disappeared from sight. It was then that Blackwood knew she had passed over the dividing line and entered the woods that surrounded Westgrave. He hastened his lips, still careful not to make any unwatched sound that may draw the girl's attention to her rear, or worse, call the attention of any creatures under the domain of the witch to their presence. The Inquisitor paused at the edge of the woods, Fee coming up on his shoulder, the young man's breath a slight pant in the silence. It was nothing but nerves, but Blackwood could not risk even the slightest sound.
"Steady yourself, Fee," he whispered in a voice that was barely audible.
Before them, the wall of trees stretched into the gloom on either side. In the darkness of the night, the bulging trunks and twisted branches seemed more menacing. Deep shadows, blacker than the night, lurked between the canopy and the woods. Harbingers seemed to challenge the men's resolve. Again, somewhere in the unknown depths of the night, the nocturnal cry of some bird disturbed the blanket of silence. In reply to the bird's call of doom, Blackwood reached behind him and withdrew the polished handle of the shar and held it, at the ready, at his side. He could feel the eyes of his apprentice upon the horrible weapon, and Blackwood turned to look at Fee from beneath the brim of his hat.
"Stay he whispered again. For into the darkness we now go, and what evil we find there, we will surely face head on. With those words, Blackwood turned and took the first step over the dividing line into the woods. Fee unsheathed his long dagger with one hand and pulled the revolver out of his holster with the other. He took one deep breath and followed his master.
This has been Blackwood, a Gothheim tale, adapted for audio from the works of Clyde Davis. You can find the print version of this story on paperback through Amazon. Continue supporting Clyde by subscribing to Narrative on Substack, where you can find new stories from him weekly. This podcast is narrated and sound designed by Alex Schiffer, with intro and outro music by Josh Fisher. Album art is done by Waldo Buckner, who you can find on Instagram. Thank you for listening, and join us next time for more Blackwood.